Invite you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and this morning we'll pick up at verse 14. Ephesians 6, verse 14. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. 2 weeks ago we talked about the belt of truth, and this morning I want to try to explain how this breastplate of righteousness works. The Greek word for breastplate is the word thorax. We use that, we brought that word directly over into our language, and if you were asking someone what that word meant, they would tell you it means our chest. You see, God has given us a rib cage to protect our vital organs, such as the lungs, such as the heart. In an ancient warfare, in addition to this rib cage, they would make a breastplate out of tough leather or metal that extended from the neck down to the abdomen, front and back. Now, in a symbolic sense, probably the equivalent today would be a bulletproof vest in order to protect us. Now, Paul is using this analogy of a breastplate to tell us that God has provided protection for our emotional vulnerability. Let me explain how I get to that. In the Jewish thinking, the heart represented the mind, the will, and it was the seat of emotions and feelings. Now, it hasn't changed, really. We still talk about our heart, and we're not referring at all to the muscle that pumps blood, but we're referring to our emotional feelings. It's interesting, in the King James translation, it uses this old archaic word, reins. Psalm 73:21 declared, "My heart was grieved, I was pricked in my reins." And literally, if you find out what that word means, it means your kidneys. Well, again, we're not speaking of the physical organ, but we're speaking of our emotional, the seat of our emotions. Jeremiah wrote in the book of Lamentations, "Mine eyes do fail with tears, my bowels are troubled, my liver is poured out on the earth." Well, you see, in ancient times, people believed that these were the seats of their emotions because they felt those sensations in their inner parts. Now, we know that emotions are tied to the soul, but we still feel our emotions through our internal organs. You know, we talk about a gut-wrenching experience. We talk about a broken heart. Someone gets up to speak and they say, "I had butterflies in my stomach." Or if you get real nervous, we said, "My stomach was just tied up in knots." And we know literally that none of that is physiologically the case, but that's where we feel our emotions. Sometimes when a person gets angry and spouts off, we say he just vented his spleen. And so all of these references mirror the ancients may have understood more than we give them credit for, but they're speaking phenomenally. They're speaking the way it appears or the way it feels. So Paul here is talking about a breastplate that covers these vital organs. He's really talking about the protection of our emotions, our feelings, and our moods. Just speaking psychologically, anger, bitterness, depression, fear, anxiety, and guilt. These emotions can hit us so hard that you may have a spasm of your esophagus. You may be hit so hard with one or more of these emotions that you find your breath has been taken away from you. Sometimes we say, "My heart is just pounding, beating within me." Some people struggle with panic attacks. Sometimes our stomach tightens. Sometimes we suffer from indigestion or ulcers or cannot sleep. And I realize there's a multitude of reasons why these symptoms may occur. But one of the reasons they may occur is because we have been attacked emotionally, and we're vulnerable emotionally. You know, some people who are under emotional stress and strain may be taking drugs to cope with those symptoms, and yet I've been in cases where the doctor has said to me in regard to someone that they could not find anything physically wrong with them. And I'm saying that it's not wrong to take medicine or prescriptions when we're dealing with physical problems. But I'm saying that some physical problems are only symptomatic of this spiritual warfare that we're in. And we need this breastplate, which is righteousness. This is something that's completely overlooked today. The latest edition of the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders today lists over three times as many disorders as were listed in the 1952 edition. Isn't that interesting? That we've got a name for everything, and with that name comes an alibi or an excuse, but many times not a cure. What I'm simply trying to say is that there's some people who are making appointments with a psychiatrist who actually need a savior. They need the Lord to help them and protect them emotionally. And so let me explain how this breastplate of righteousness can help us emotionally. To start off with this matter of righteousness, I have to go to Romans 3, verse 10, where it says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." And so the commonest form of righteousness we deal with today is self-righteousness. Self-righteous people are proud that they're living a pretty good life. They're as good as most people and better than many. Depending on what religion or what religious views they have done what was required of them. And so they say, "I've done whatever my church has required." In some cases, they've come forward and knelt at an altar. In some cases, they've been baptized. In some cases, they've been rebaptized because the new church didn't accept the old way of doing it. In some cases, they've joined a church, and some churches require a dietary code that they have to live by. Other churches have a dress code that you must abide by. But in every case, they have complied with whatever was necessary. Their confidence is in their own works, but they've never seen their helplessness. They've never cried out to Jesus to save them. I hope that explains this next statement. That's why church members are the hardest people to ever get saved. And I'm not implying that no church members are saved. But I'm thinking in the back of my mind, there was a man named John Wesley who was an ordained clergyman in the Church of England for 13 years before he ever got saved. And the real miracle of it all was that he ever did get saved. There are many who live and die, and that is their profession. But their righteousness is a self-righteousness. These people are always delighted when they hear about a hypocrite in another church that's been exposed, because that just simply elevates their own superiority. They say, "Well, I didn't do that." And so have you ever heard people say this, or at least I think you'll relate to this idea. People say, "Well, if that's what they're doing down at that church, our chances of going to heaven are better than we thought they were. We're better than those people were." See, we're not talking about your chances. We're not talking about the probability of going to heaven. We're talking about the certainty, the assurance. This breastplate of righteousness protects us not with a 60% probability that we're better than the Baptists or the Presbyterians. No, it's 100% certainty that I will go to heaven not because of what I've done, but because of what Christ has done for me. And so we confess our sins. We trust in Christ alone as our Savior. God forgives our sins, declares us to be righteous, and begins the process of making us righteous. Romans 13:12 says, "Let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light." See, I'm grabbing for these passages that talk about this armor of protection. And here the implication is that being converted means that I step into the light, and the light of God, His revelation, serves as protection to me. You know, when light first comes to us, it reveals how undone we are. The light reveals how vulnerable we are. It shows us that we don't have adequate protection. Can I just point clear back to the very opening chapters of the Bible? Do you remember that after Adam and Eve sinned, they felt vulnerable? They felt like they needed to be covered. And what did they cover themselves with? Well, you remember it was fig leaves. And the whole point of that is that wasn't enough covering. That was not enough covering just to be See, any self-righteousness, anytime you think you're earning God's favor by what you put in the offering, by the way, you can put in all you want to. We'll take it, but I just want to be clear that you can't buy your way into heaven. Do you realize that all of your good works are just like a single fig leaf? It won't cover all your sin. We've still been trying to cover ourselves, and we don't have enough covering. We need something to die. There must be blood shed for us to be covered adequately in God's sight. Now, what's interesting to me is that there are seven penitential psalms. In the book of Psalms has 150 psalms, and no matter how you feel, no matter what your state, no matter what emotional state you're in, you can find a psalm that will articulate the way you feel. Even if you can't find the words to express the way you feel, there's a psalm that will express it for you. But there's seven psalms that talk about David's conviction over his sin. And I just want to scan over those real quickly because I want you to see something that I'm interested in. It's called the psychosomatic connection. Psycho refers to our mind. Soma refers to our body. And when we are upset or when we are under spiritual attack, it affects us physically. And notice how that comes through. In Psalm 6, verse 2, David confessed that his soul was troubled, and he says it even affects my bones. See, there's a connection between your spiritual state and your physical well-being. Psalm 32, verse 3, he said when he tried to cover his sins, and remember, there's no covering that's adequate other than the atonement of Christ. He said when he tried to cover his sins that his bones grew old, that he lost his vitality. Psalm 38:3, he says, my bones have no soundness because of my sin. My loins are full of inflammation. My heart pounds. David sees that he has offended God, and it's affecting him right down to the very core of his nature. Psalm 102, verses 3 and 4, he describes a loss of appetite. And again complains of his bones aching. In Psalm 30, the first three verses describe his state of depression. In Psalm 143, verse 4, he says, my spirit is overwhelmed, my heart is distressed. And the final one of these penitential psalms is Psalm 51. This famous prayer, he prays, cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Create in me a pure heart. What I'm saying is that we are vulnerable to the attack of the evil one when we rely on our own self-righteousness. It is not an adequate armor to protect us. David was left open, and David came under more attack than he could deal with. It was a spiritual attack, but it's interesting how it affected him physically. And so David finally comes to the point where he confesses his sins. And it's interesting that when his sins were forgiven, only then was he covered with this breastplate of righteousness. In Ephesians 4, we're in Ephesians 6 now, but in Ephesians 4, verse 24, it talked to us about putting off the old life, putting on the new life, created in true righteousness and holiness. And what that tells us is that when we're forgiven, we are covered with this breastplate of righteousness. God has released us from the guilt of all of our sins in the past. I'm fascinated by a statement from a doctor who worked in a mental hospital in the state of Tennessee. Here's what he said. He said, half of my patients could go home in a week if they knew they were forgiven. Isn't that interesting? You see, the connection between our mental and physical well-being and our spiritual protection. You can know that you're forgiven. You can know that you have been released from the guilt of your sins that you have committed. And then God makes us righteous, and the Bible teaches that those who are just or righteous are to live by faith. See, I first talked about the inadequate covering of self-righteousness. I talked about acknowledging our sin and the release from condemnation that comes to us when we're forgiven, not by what we did, but what Jesus did for us. Now, the Bible says those who are justified, those who have been made righteous, we're to live by faith. See, Satan is an accuser of the brethren. Satan knows how to push your button. He knows how to string you out emotionally. He may come against you through the words of another person. They may say something and not even be aware that what they're saying is being used to raise all kinds of anxiety and questions in your mind. The devil may accuse you by reminding you of your past sin. But you see, this breastplate of righteousness is your protection against that attack. Bear with me, I want to read to you from an old Methodist commentator. His language is a little archaic, but I want you to get what he's saying. Does the enemy bring up against me my old sins? Well, has the devil ever brought that up? I can say it is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? See, that's the breastplate of righteousness. Am I tempted to presume on my forgiveness and fall into transgression once more? From this breastplate, the arrow of temptation falls pointless as it resounds. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. He that is born of God does not commit sin. You see, it's like the devil is firing arrows at us. Have you ever felt like that you were just under a whole barrage of arrows? Well, what he's saying is that they hit this breastplate of righteousness and they bounce off because God is helping us to live a righteous and holy and godly life. The completeness of pardon for past offense, the integrity of character that belong to the justified life are woven together into an impenetrable maw. Well, what he's describing is this breastplate, this old maw that was woven together. And he said it's what Jesus has done for us, and what Jesus is doing in us provides this shield of confidence. And so basically what we're saying is, if you have the breastplate of righteousness, as long as it's covering you, it cannot be penetrated. Now, let me just say it another way. Have you ever seen this motto? You know, I'm always looking for things to put up on the sign at the college. And we've got a sign up right now that says, God is looking for spiritual fruit, not religious nuts. And we try to put something up that will capture people's attention as they drive by. but I'm always looking for some kind of a short, pithy statement. And I've seen this before. I don't know if you've ever seen it. A clear conscience is a soft pillow. You ever seen that statement before? What we're saying is that you can be protected from all of this barrage, all of this bombardment of attack and suggestions and anxiety and fear. You can be protected of that because God has provided for you this breastplate of righteousness. Yes, I have sinned. Yes, I fall short of the glory of God, but I have been forgiven. And I'm being made holy. And my faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, now what I'm doing is I'm making sure that breastplate is on, good and tight. To put on that breastplate of righteousness is to remind myself and to remind the devil of what God has done for me. We do not have to be upset and agitated and fearful. God can keep us in His peace, a peace that passes all understanding. I started out this morning reading from Isaiah 59, verse 17, where God Himself, the warrior, God is girded with this breastplate of righteousness, and God truly is righteous, isn't He? We cannot make any accusation against the character or the nature of God. God is absolutely holy. But what's interesting is that He provides this same armor for His people to wear. And that's what Paul means in 1 Thessalonians 5:8. Let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate. And so here is this idea again of protection. This is the armor God has given us. See, my protection then is my character. And my character has been changed by the indwelling Holy Spirit. You know what? I don't worry about my reputation. I really don't worry about what people think or say about me. It's my job to maintain my character. And I can't go around saying, well, what do they think of me? I can't always be walking on eggshells. Well, do they like me or do they not like me? Well, there's always going to be people who like you. There's always going to be people who don't like you. But you can live with confidence that God has given you a character of righteousness. I don't have to worry about whether people are going to find out that I'm doing bad things if I'm not doing any bad things. And that's where God's grace can help us to live righteous and holy lives. You know, I was always amused. They used to tell about a little boy that would make prank phone calls. And he'd call people in the middle of the night and say, everything has been discovered about you. Flee at once. They said before morning, some people would be packed and gone. But if you haven't got skeletons in your closet, and we all have done things, but we have. What I'm saying is that we have dealt with those. They're under the blood. They've been covered. They've been forgiven. But if we're living a righteous life, and we can only live that kind of life through the power of the Holy Spirit, but as we live that kind of a life, you don't have to worry. If people are whispering, you don't have to worry. Well, I wonder if they found out. There's nothing to find out. It's all been dealt with. It's all been forgiven. That, I'm trying to describe this righteousness and what a shield, what a protection it is for all of our vital emotions. And we need that covering. John MacArthur said, many, if not most, of the emotional and relational problems Christians experience are caused by a lack of personal holiness. Then he went on to say, the church today is often guilty of supplying believers with paper armor. That's an interesting picture, isn't it? He says, the church is guilty of supplying believers with the paper armor of good advice, programs, activities, techniques, and methods, when what they need is the godly armor of holy living. What I'm saying is God's grace can help you to live right. And if you're living right, that righteousness is a breastplate that will protect your internal organs. It will protect your emotions so that you can live with confidence. God does not want his people living in fear, living in torment, living upset all the time. God wants us to be confident. And I'm not talking about a brash self-confidence. I know some people have never been wrong in their life. But just between me and you, I've known people that were frequently in error, but never in doubt. You ever met people like that? Frequently in error, but never in doubt. That's a brash self-confidence. That has nothing to do with religion. That has something to do with personality. God can deliver us from that kind of a brash. There are some people, the whole world knows they're wrong. They're the only person in the world that doesn't know they're wrong. And they've never been wrong in their life. That's not the kind of confidence I'm talking about. That's a self-confidence that we need to be delivered from. But God can give us this righteousness that comes by faith, that comes through trusting in Jesus. Jesus can deliver us from ourselves, and he can cover us with his covering. Always remember that any covering we have is inadequate, but his covering is adequate. And we don't have to live just up and down, just high one minute and bottomed out the next. God can help us to live in confidence and boldness. He wants us to approach him with that kind of a boldness. And so, let's just apply this. Sarah Alice is going to turn the corner and go back for her third round of chemo. And she could go in just dragging her heels. She could work herself up into a state of depression before they ever even started the chemo. But why not trust God for the best? We've had people tell us you ought not to go to Nigeria next month. That Boko Haram situation is worse. Well, we'll take good advice. We'll listen to what's being told us. But I don't make decisions based on fear. We don't live in fear. God has not given us the spirit of bondage again to fear. But the devil will give it to you if you'll take it. And for whatever you're facing, if you're going to be controlled by fear, the devil will shut you down. You won't do anything. You get to the place where you can't hardly get out of bed because you're afraid of what you might face. I heard about one man that didn't want to go to school. And he told his mother. He said, "Nobody likes me there. I don't want to go." She says, "But you have to go. You're the principal." That's the difference between being immature and being grown up. You don't have to be controlled by fear. I hope I've made this point, that this breastplate of righteousness covers all of our emotional vulnerability. And God can help us to live by faith. And that's how God wants his people to live. And so let me just ask you this. Are you living right? There's no substitute for right living. A lot of our problems come from low living. And if we'll live right, it provides a tremendous protection against all of these things. Let's stand and just spend a moment asking God to give us what we need and to take inventory of our lives. Heavenly Father, I believe you've provided all the protection we need to be victorious. Many times we're defeated by our own double life, by our own double standards, and then hoping that nobody finds out. Lord, if we just live right to start with, we don't have to worry about what people think or say. Lord, help us to maintain this character with you, this character of holy living that you have given us. Lord, we may not be all that we ought to be, but I thank you that we're not what we used to be, and I thank you that changed life lifts us from all of these attacks and this vulnerability. Help us to be bold and help us to have confidence and help us to face whatever we're going to face this week with this breastplate of righteousness that protects our vulnerable emotions. Be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.